everyone. You're listening to Confetti, the talk show for Wedding Planners. Hopefully that's you. My name is Debbie, and I'll be your host for the next 45 minutes or so. Today is Tuesday, October 18th, 2011, and this show is airing live from the Washington, D.C. metro area. And my goal is always to bring you information and answers to your questions about operating a successful wedding planning company of your very own. I'm also the creator of two online resources created just for you, weddingsforaliving.com, which contains free content about planning weddings for a living, and that's also the place where you can listen to and download archived episodes of this talk show. If you need a little more hand-holding as you start your wedding planning business, then you should definitely check out my other site, weddingbusinessguide.com, where you can find tutorials, downloadable forms, and access to live teleseminars and webinars just for wedding planners, okay? All right, welcome. I'm so glad to see so many of you here, some familiar faces. Hello, Gary from Casual Weddings, Kim, and Maxine and Elvia. I hope I'm saying that correctly. And I see some other names here. You know, you've got your usernames. I don't know if these are your true names, so I can only go by what I see here. I see Tyone, Boyd, X, Godfrey. So thank you, everyone. I'm glad you're here. So getting back to today, this show is not just about me talking. And those of you that know me know I love to talk, but it's completely interactive. So if you have a question or comment, please feel free to call in live. And you can do that by dialing 626-213-5678. Okay? And that's also the number that you can listen in on your phone, 626-213-5678. And simply press the number 1, and that will let me know that you have something to share with us, and I'll bring you live on the air. Of course, you can also type your questions and comments in the online chat room. Okay? So, you know, get involved in the chat room, make friends. If you have a Facebook page, please post the URL if you would like to pick up a few likes. It's all about sharing. And, you know, can you tell I'm trying to read the chat and talk? I'm not doing a good job of multitasking. So let me focus on this first. So please post your Facebook URL. And, you know, I did that for my Facebook page, but I didn't put the www, so it's probably not clickable. But I don't know if that makes a difference, though, in the chat. So put that in there, and a couple of times it may sort of, you know, the chat scrolls. So if you're looking at the chat and your Facebook page URL scrolls off the page, just enter it again, okay? All right. Ooh, Daniel is here. Yay! Daniel is Daniel and Gary. I was gonna say personally. I feel like I know you personally. Are our two lone male wedding planners that I know of. So if there's somebody else here, there are other gentlemen on the line, on the call, listening to the show or in the chat. You know, post that in there, okay? And Daniel is joining us all the way from the UK, unless he's globetrotting again. So it's probably, you know, already Wednesday where Daniel is. And Gary of Casual Weddings is our other male wedding planner. So wonderful. Daniel, Gary was feeling rather lonely here last call, because we were all ganging up on him, us girls. So good to see you here. Welcome, new faces. I say that as though I can see you. Of course, I cannot. But I really enjoy seeing new names. And I know there are a lot of people here that have the guest name there, so I can't address you, but thank you for being here. I see Jess Reed, and great, I said someone's name correctly. Wonderful, great. Okay, so, October 18th, we're more than halfway through the month. So, you know, I hope you're moving and shaking with your goals and with your wedding planning business. I love, October has my favorite holiday, which is Halloween, and I've actually got a question that's sort of related to that. So I don't know if you guys make a big deal out of Halloween, but October 1st hit and my daughter and I were out there decorating the house. So we were on board with that. And what we have, I figured out now that we are the lone decorators on our block, which means come trick or treat time, all of the kids come to our house. So we carry the brunt. We carry the weight for everyone. All our neighbors have figured out that if they shut their lights off, they don't have to buy any candy. So we're left either giving out all the candy in the first hour or giving out one piece of candy per child, which is not a good thing because then they think we're being mean. So I love Halloween. All right, so let's see. Please follow the show. Add your comments on the show page. So if you go to blogtalkradio.com/confetti, you can add your comments there and share the love with someone else who may be thinking about planning a wedding, or someone who may be just in the wedding planning industry and isn't a planner. It's always good to have feedback from all different companies, different styles, different industries within the wedding industry. You know what I mean? So not just wedding planners. I am on Twitter. I always laugh because I don't tweet. Gary made the comment that he was Twitterful. I am also Twitterful, Gary. At least the show announcements are on Twitter, and I'm on Facebook. Yeah, big waste of time, but I'm on there. Okay, please know that I do try to get to your questions. I may not get to your question immediately, but the whole point is I want you to listen to the show. And, the whole point behind these shows every other Tuesday is the Grab Bag Tuesday, so that I get to answer all of your questions, or try to answer your questions. I want you guys to join in too. So if you have a comment or a suggestion, you know, you've got to give me, you know, post your comment or give a call. If you have a question, you can always just go onto the weddingsforaliving.com site and just click the ask link, and then you'll see, just type your comment in there. All right. I also wanted to make mention that Wedding Business Guide, the other site that I have, we will be having someone by the name of Dina Eisenberg, who is an attorney and a marketing coach, and she'll be on a live teleseminar, or maybe it's a webinar. I haven't figured out how we're going to do that next week, Wednesday. And she'll be talking about contracts and negotiating and things like that. So if you guys have any questions, Wedding Business Guide members, please, I'll be sending out an email, but just, you know, save the date next Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern. Dina Eisenberg I've forgotten her site now. Oh, Positively Wed. Positively WED. You can check out her site there. Okay? All right, so questions. I'm going to get to that. And I'm looking over at the switchboard because last time there was a call and I missed it. So I'm sort of looking over to the right here. So if you have a question, remember the number is 626-213-5678. Okay? All right. So this first question is from Jandilyn. And her question is, can you explain the pros and cons of, one, wedding insurance, and two, wedding planner insurance for me? Okay. Great question, Jandilyn. So insurance, it's one of the things that, you know, we should have, but we don't always want to fork out the money for. I mean, if you have a car, you have car insurance. At least I hope you do. If you have a home, have homeowner's insurance. If you're renting, renter's insurance. So, you know, insurance is what we need. We have just in case. So let me start with, I'm going to start backwards because she asked about for the client and for the wedding planner. As wedding planners, when you're operating your business, whether you're operating from your home or in a retail space or an office, you need to protect your business and your belongings. And, you know, if you operate your business from home, at the very least, you need to make sure your stuff, your computer equipment, your office furniture, your bridal accessories are covered. And a lot of times you'll find that your homeowner's or your renter's insurance policy will cover those items, but don't make that assumption. Double check, especially if you've got some expensive equipment or things that would just be detrimental if they were not there, or if they malfunctioned, or if they were stolen, or if they, you know, there was a flood or they were damaged. You need to make sure you have enough insurance so that you can replace those items, assuming they are replaceable, if the, you know, the unthinkable happens. Okay. So there are different types of insurance. When I used to operate my business from a commercial space, and I'm now home-based, I had to have insurance. It was a requirement, and that insurance was to make sure, you know, to cover me in case somebody fell, or, you know, a client came and something happened, that I was covered in that instance. But there are also other types of insurance. Business interruption insurance provides you with coverage if for some reason your office is uninhabitable, making it impossible for you to work. So just think about this. If you were planning a big wedding, and you know, some sort of natural disaster, the pipes burst, and, you know, all the things that you need to plan this wedding are no longer available to you, then, you know, as far as your clients are concerned, they've paid your fee and they expect you to deliver. So business interruption insurance covers you it covers you if that your income is affected by, you know, some sort of calamity. Ooh, I haven't used that word in months. Yes, calamity. you know, to destroy your computer or your file. So it's, and it's usually not expensive. You'll find most insurance is not very expensive. It's just that a lot of times, because it's not tangible, we just don't think that we're going to need it, or we, you know, we have our fingers crossed that, you know, the unthinkable will not happen. You also, another type of insurance that you can have is errors and omission, and that covers you for things, as it sounds, like that maybe your contract doesn't cover. And I'm not going to go into detail because I'm not an insurance expert, but I'm just talking about insurance coverage that I have. And you can go online and Google this information. If you are a wedding business guide member, that information is on there. Just go on the site and search for insurance, and you'll see some information about that. Professional liability insurance protects you, you know, when things go wrong, and it covers things like attorney legal fees and any claims that are up to the limit of the policy. So, you know, we all know how expensive it can be to hire an attorney, because a lot of us are reluctant to go to an attorney just to talk because, you know, time is money. So professional liability insurance covers you in those instances. I have Allstate here in the U.S. for my home and my auto. Allstate does not offer that kind of insurance. And the insurance company that I have that offers coverage for my wedding business is the Hartford. So if you check out the Hartford Insurance Company, you'll find you can get a really affordable policy. And I'm talking about less than $150 a year, you know, for a substantial amount of coverage. So, you know, remember, you're running a business. You decide to go into business. There are going to be expenses that you'll incur. So, you know, don't try to shortchange to the point that you get yourself in a pickle or in a bind here. So just research, and I think you'll be surprised. I was going to say pleasantly surprised, but I don't know if you can be pleasantly surprised about paying anything. But, you know, just relieved that it's not an exorbitant amount, okay? I mentioned auto insurance. You definitely want to have auto insurance, but if you're using your car for, you know, if you're bringing clients back and forth and you're actively using that for your business, you may want to think about commercial insurance for your auto. It's a lot more comprehensive. You're going to be covered in a lot more instances, especially, you know, when it comes down, if you're in an accident and you're on a business-related trip and you have personal auto insurance, depending on what, you know, how things are broken down, your insurance company may decide that they're not going to cover you. Okay, so be careful with that. Commercial insurance is something to consider, especially if you live in a very busy metropolitan area, because if you have commercial insurance, you're going to have different, your vehicle is, you may be able to park in some places where if you have personal insurance that you may not be able to. Do you get what I mean? So where it says, you know, commercial vehicles only, if you have that commercial coverage in your car, you may fall into that parameter. So double check and find out about insurance for your business, okay? And the other part of Jandulyn's question was insurance for clients. Now, some venues, depending on where your client is getting married, usually for the reception, they may actually require that your clients take out their own insurance policy, usually just for the one day. And this is so that the venue is covered, that in the event that there's any kind of property damage, that, you know, you're able to pay for any of those repairs or replacements. So in some instances, there is no, you know, your clients may not have a choice. There's also some venues may also require alcohol. So, you know, if you're serving alcohol, and even in some places here in the U.S., in your home, if you serve alcohol to your guests and your guest leaves and gets into a car accident, you can be held liable, responsible for that. So if you're serving alcohol, as many do at the wedding reception, you may want to consider liquor liability. And again, for some venues, it's not even an option. You're required to have that. And then some insurance policies for clients will cover injury if someone hurts themselves, similar to what I was talking about if someone's in your office. So, you know, research these things so that you can talk intelligently about it to your clients. You don't have to know the ins and outs, just where to send them. And you'll be surprised again, or maybe you're not surprised, you may already know that a lot of these insurance policies cost about $100 for, you know, up to $1 million worth of coverage. $1 million may sound like a lot, but, you know, when someone gets it, when we get into the litigation, you know, $1 million may not be so much, but it's something. And then there's also the insurance that you can get for your clients can get in the event. Let's say, you know, we're in October 2011 and your clients are getting married June of next year or maybe October of next year. They can actually get insurance to cover them in the event that a vendor that they've paid their services to, paid their monies to, goes out of business or just disappears. So insurance can cover your clients in that instance. So check that out. WedSafe is a place, is one of the sites that I'm familiar with, and I actually spoke to one of the representatives earlier this week who's very helpful. So just do those things. You know, as you're going through setting up your wedding business, include insurance as one of your vendors. You know, you've got to go out and interview vendors for to find out about, you know, to refer them to your clients. So do the same thing for insurance. Just make a few notes and just explain to them, you know, I'm a wedding planner. I want to make, which is, that's what I said, you know, I'm a wedding planner. I want to make sure I understand what insurance options are available to my clients. And, you know, they can actually get the insurance as early, as late as the day before the wedding. Although some venues, again, may require that they have that sooner because they want proof of that. So, you know, find out and just ask questions. You just need to have the general knowledge that you can provide that information to your clients. You don't have to know everything from A to Z or A to Z, Daniel. Just enough information that you can send them in the right, point them in the right direction. Okay? Let's see. Daniel says, definitely have top-notch insurance, including legal cover for yourself in the case that you get a client that is in the unlikely event something goes wrong, as a planner always seems to have the fingers pointed at them. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely right. And that's what I'm talking about, that, you know, we're living in a litigious, am I saying that right? Litigious society? You know, I want to be a wordsmith. Am I saying that right? You know, and a person can file a lawsuit for just about any reason. You know, they can decide to come after you, the wedding planner, if you recommend a, refer a vendor that doesn't do what they're supposed to do. I mean, you would hope that your contract covers you, but it doesn't stop somebody from going through the process, okay? What if you make a mistake and you cost your client money? Yeah, that's a reason for them to, hate to say it this way, come after you. So insurance is a small price to pay for you, Mr. or Miss Wedding Planner. And I think at $150, maybe $200 for the year, that's nothing. That's nothing when you're running a business. You can make that back within your first client, okay? All right. Let's see. Daniel, and I have to make sure I read out the comments because I'll read, and the folks that are listening that can't see the chat don't know what I'm talking about. Daniel says he didn't know if his comment made sense. Of course it did. Of course it did. All right. Okay, so that was the first question. Let me look over the switchboard. I see a number of you are joining us on the phone. Glad that you're here. All right, I'm going to move on to the next question. And remember, guys, if you have a Facebook page and you're just joining us, please post your URL in the chat so we can like your page. Okay, this question is from Donna. Donna says, I'm located in Massachusetts, and I was contacted by a bride from Texas looking for help in planning her wedding here. She wants to have her wedding in Salem, Massachusetts, around Halloween. Salem at Halloween is crazy. Nowhere in the world celebrates Halloween like Salem, and it's a month-long celebration. She would like to have an outdoor ceremony with anywhere from 3 to 30 people with lots of photos, no reception, but dinner at a restaurant, a wedding cake, and a toast, and a budget somewhere between $5,000 and $8,000 U.S. dollars. They won't be coming to this area until August 2012. I'd really like to help her, although I've never done anything like this before, but how do I come up with a quote? How would you handle this? Am I crazy for considering this? Okay, good question. Someone who absolutely loves Halloween, no, I don't think you're crazy, Donna. And, you know, when I first read this, I thought, wow, Halloween's right around the corner. There's not enough time, but, you know, reading is fundamental. This is not until next year. So, all right, so let's see. The question here, I mean, we've got some background here. There are a couple of things I just wanted to let me start with. I made some notes here. When you decide to, you know, set up your wedding planning business, and, you know, I don't, you know, we can all do all the planning and thinking, planning, not planning the wedding, I mean planning to set up your business as much as we want to, but at some point you have to move forward and just go ahead and get started. But there are a couple of things, a few things actually, that you got to make sure you have in place. And your pricing is one of those things. You don't want to wait until you have a client to go through the process of, oh my gosh, how much am I going to charge? you should already have in your mind what your hourly rate is, what your time is worth. And this doesn't matter whether, it doesn't matter whether you plan to charge by the hour or by the package or whatever. You should know in your mind what your hourly rate is, because that's going to be the basis in a lot of instances to determine how much to charge your clients. Because you're going to use that to calculate your planning fees, okay? I can't tell you how much your time is worth per hour, but I'm going to go extremely low and say it should be nothing lower than $15, $15. And that's unbelievably low. That I don't even want to say 15, but, you know, because we are such a vast nation here in the U.S., it varies. But nothing lower than that. And really, I'm stretching with that. Because once you know how much your hourly rates are, then you can determine, you know, how many, you can determine what time is, you know your rate, and then you figure out how much time is involved to do certain things. Now, in this instance, you said this person is having anywhere from 3 to 30 people. That's a pretty wide range. So you're going to have to go in there and sort of narrow it down. But I have found that the number of guests can really determine how much work you're going to do on the wedding day, assuming you're going to be there on the wedding day. And planning doesn't always mean that you have to be there on the day. You, as a wedding planner, can simply sit down and consult with someone and tell them everything you know for the amount of time that you're sitting there. Give them a list of vendors, you know, give them all the sheets and all the forms that they'll need, and never show up on the wedding day and charge by the hour to be there. You're still fulfilling your role as a wedding planner. It all depends on what the client needs and what you're willing to do. This client has a budget of anywhere between $5,000 and $8,000 U.S. dollars. Now, that may be worth your while. It may not be worth your while. I would definitely say, you know, full-service planning, I'm going to take a chance and say that you're not going to do that, because, I mean, you're not going to make enough money. You're going to take a good portion of the budget to do that. But maybe, you know, you can give them 10 hours of your planning time. And let them know, you know, I'll give you 10 hours of planning time, and let's say your rate is $20 an hour. What's that, $200? That's not a whole lot of money, but that's just 10 hours of your time. You can maybe, if you're comfortable with that, you can do that. And, I mean, maybe you don't present it that way. Maybe you figure out all the things that you will do in your mind that takes you 10 hours of your time, which is why I say you've got to be familiar with you've got to know what your worth, your time is worth, and then also be familiar with how much time for each task. Like, for me, I know if I'm going on a vendor visit with my clients, I usually set aside 2 hours, sometimes three, but 2 hours definitely minimum. So if I know for vendor visits, it's going to be worth, it's 2 hours of my time, and I've got 4 vendor visits to do, that's 8 hours, right? So I already know that's okay, that's at least $80 right there. So that's how, for me, that's been the easiest way for me to figure out how much to charge my clients, because after you get through planning a lot of events, you become familiar with how much time it takes to do certain tasks, okay? So you've got to figure that stuff out. Don't wait until you get a client and then they ask you what your fee is and then you can't come up with an amount, because then you sound like you don't know what you're doing, and that just opens the door for them to just, you know, nickel and dime you down to whatever they want to. You've got to be comfortable enough to say, this is my rate and this is how much I'm going to charge. So again, with this client, she says 3 to 30 people, lots of photos, no reception, but dinner at a restaurant. So that's kind of a reception, but it sounds like the restaurant's going to do a lot of the work there on the day. A wedding cake and a toast and a budget. So depending on the restaurant, either they will provide the cake, or you may have to find a wedding vendor for them. Toast, I'm guessing the restaurant will provide that too, because very few restaurants will allow you to bring alcohol in from someplace else, assuming it is an alcoholic toast and not just, you know, like apple cider or something. And even then, usually they don't want you to do that, or they'll charge you, what do they call it, a corkage fee. So these are the things that you have to find out. Does she want you to find a restaurant? Because she's in Texas, you're in Massachusetts, so probably you're going to have to do some of that legwork. So if you're going out there looking for vendors, unless you already have a list of restaurants that she can use, that she can check out, you're going to have to do some of that legwork. That's time. Remember, you've got to bill for time even though you're not face-to-face with your clients too, okay? So you've got to sit down, Donna, and just think in your mind, what are some of the things I'm going to have to do? And you got to speak to her. Communicate with her. Do a Skype call. And you know what? Outside of just the getting to know you part, I would strongly urge you to charge a consultation fee for her to speak with you. if she's in Texas and you're in Massachusetts, it's not unreasonable to charge her a fee to talk to you. So, you know, maybe she gets to speak to you for about an hour and you charge her, I don't know, $50, $40, whatever. I mean, with the budget that she has, I know it's not going to be a high amount. And, you know, also, you have to decide before you start planning weddings, what's the minimum amount of money you're going to accept to do anything. You know, my least expensive package that I offer is $450. It used to be $300. It's $450. And that's for a bride to sit down and talk with me for a couple of hours, a minimum of 2 hours. And I do some preparation. I give her all the forms that she needs, give her a list of vendors based on her style and on her budget, some money-saving tips and things that she can do on her wedding day to save her some time and relieve the stress. So those are the things that I provide. I'm not showing up on her wedding day, but I'm giving her that information during that workshop, and I spend half an afternoon with her. That's $450. I think that's fair for her, and that's what I'm willing to do. If she wants me to do anything more, absolutely, but that she's going to have to pay for that. And when you present a fee to your clients and they sort of, you know, don't want to pay that and want to negotiate with you, negotiation is fine. You can reduce your fee, but you've got to take out some of what you offer to her. If you offered, I don't know, $20, 20 hours worth of planning, I'm just pulling a number out of my head, guys, $500, and she says, well, we can pay you $300. Okay, if you're willing to do that, no problem. $300, but you're not giving her the same amount of service that you're going to give her for the $500. Okay? You have to make sure and put your foot down that people understand that your time is worth something. So if somebody wants to negotiate, that's fine, but you cannot give them the same thing you were going to offer them at the original price. If they want to pay less, you've got to give them less. If they want you and really want to do business with you, they will pay. If they don't want to pay, they've got to find another planner or some other resource, okay? So don't worry about it. And I know many of us want that first bride. We want the client. We want the experience. We're planning weddings for free. Hate it, hate it, hate it, hate it. Don't do it. You will regret it. So just stand firm with your pricing, but you've got to do some homework. Just sit down for a couple of hours and figure out to yourself, what is my time worth? Don't forget you've got to pay for your internet. You've got to pay for your phone. You've got to pay for your rent. You've got to pay for your hosting. There are a lot of things that you have to pay for. Don't equate your time to whatever you're making at your 9-to-5 that you're getting, you know, benefits and all that stuff, because a lot of us don't have that. We're working for ourselves, okay? But you've got to figure some of these things out before you hang out your shingle and brides come to you, because if you're taking too long to respond with pricing, that's not a good thing. It doesn't come across as very professional, okay? Also, if you're doing other things besides planning, I've said this before, like decor, you can charge a separate rate for that. So, you know, if $20 is your planning fee, oh, my God, why am I saying $20? That's crazy money. Don't charge $20 an hour to plan. Don't do it. But I'm going to use that because it's a nice round number. I don't want to get caught up if I have to do any math on the air. So if it's $20 for planning, maybe your decor, you may be charged less, meaning, you know, for the setup and so forth, because they're going to, you know, you're going to charge them for your materials and stuff. So maybe your decor is $15 an hour. Or maybe in your world, you believe your decor is worth more than your decor time is worth more than your planning time. You get me? So you figure out what that is. So if this person in Donna's situation wants her to maybe set up the restaurant and have it looking fantastic to go along with this great Halloween theme, then you can charge a different rate for that, okay? So, you know, I've answered a lot of, sort of gone all over the place, as I tend to do when I answer your questions, but, you know, there's never usually one obvious response. So, but make sure you get your fees figured out. And, you know, I'm saying, you know, if in your mind, if you know your time is worth $20 an hour, right? If you believe that's what it's worth, when you advertise your hourly rates, you don't advertise $20 an hour to your clients. You advertise $30. You always bump that up, because I know that you are going to forget to include some of your planning time and your offline time. Offline meaning the time that you're not with your clients, right? So when you're calculating your time, using that example that I did for the vendors, if I know my time is worth $20 an hour and I'm going to be on a vendor visit and it's going to take me 2 hours, that's $40, right? I advertise my hourly rate as maybe being $30 an hour, so that my client thinks that it's hard for me to explain. The client just believes that they're getting a great deal. You cannot, whatever your hourly rate is within your mind, you don't advertise that to your client. Always bump that up to give yourself some wiggle room for the other things that you will no doubt have to do. Okay? So I hope that helps. I hope that helps answer your question, Donna. All right, let me look over the switchboard. I don't see anybody calling. Let's see. Jess Reed says, make sure you have your contract looked over by a lawyer, legal counsel at the BBB to make sure it's airtight. Insurance will cover anything they do not catch. Absolutely. Very good point, Jess. So BBB, Better Business Bureau, right? Right? Let me make sure that doesn't stand for something else that I have missed entirely. But yet, whenever you're dealing with contracts, you know, and on the weddingsforliving.com site, there is a sample letter of agreement. Whatever you call it, you have to use that as a basis, but you've got to see a local attorney to make sure that you're local, that you're covered locally for what it is that you're doing. And as Jess says, insurance will cover anything they do not catch. But a very good point. Okay, yes, Jess confirms that it is the Better Business Bureau. You know, every now and then I get a smart thought. Okay. All right, I see some other questions here. I'm going to, let's look over here. Daniel's saying, hi, Debbie, I need to start promoting my concept of being a planet in the UK for US clients. Where would you suggest to start? Daniel, so what is your niche again, your specialty? As after doing research, I've come to ascertain most destination wedding planners tend to travel to the wedding location. Oh, yes, you're right. So, Daniel, I think what you're saying is a lot of destination wedding planners are not at the destination where the destination wedding is taking place. Am I correct? Because, I mean, that's not always the case, but let me know if that's what you're saying. Daniel's asking a question in the chat. So Daniel's in the UK, and he's in a beautiful part of the UK, Cornwall, and his he is working hard to get clients here in the US who want to get married in the United Kingdom. So that's what you're saying. So, and he's saying that he's actually at the destination, but he's saying a lot of wedding planners who do plan destination weddings are not where the bride and groom want to get married. They're actually local to the bride and groom, and then they travel. And I've done a few destination weddings, and that is the case. I'm here in the Washington, D.C. area. I've yet to plan a destination wedding for someone outside of the U.S. Sorry, someone outside of D.C. wanting to come into D.C. to get married. But that could happen. Daniel, you know what? I'm going to toss that out to the chat. You guys, what do you think Daniel should do? You're here in the U.S., right? So if you have clients that want to get married in the UK, I mean, what's the best thing do you think that Daniel should be doing to link up with wedding planners here? I want to get some feedback. There are a lot of you here online. So if you could just type your comment in the chat, and you know, with regard to Daniel, and just maybe just preface the first part of your chat message by just saying Daniel, so I know that that's what you're referring to. And then I'm going to come back to that. Okay. I do see a question coming from somebody on the switchboard, so I'm going to roll over to the phones here. So the person with the last four numbers, 8744, I'll try to bring you on the line here. How do I do that? Like this? Hello. Hi, this is Debbie. Are you there?
Hi, Debbie. Debbie?
Yes.
Hi, this is Domshell Johnson from weddingstoplan.com.
What?
I have a question.
Yes.
I plan a lot of weddings. I'm in New Jersey, and I plan a lot of weddings from a distance. And I have one in Boston next year. And I wanted to use some type of, I guess, software where my bride and I sync up on, like, her planners and, you know, where she could go online and look at stuff and I could go online and look at stuff. Without her always, you know, she could update some, maybe her profile, some forms, different stuff like that, and we would sync up. Kind of like how you do in the corporate world where you have mailboxes where, you know, like Word documents that people can access together. Do you know any software that's good for that?
So this would be just related to the planning part, right? Just, I mean,
just where both, like, she could maybe fill out her seating chart, and then I could just go online and look at it. I know there's different software out there, but I don't know if people use it or not.
Okay, that's a great question. And repeat your first name for me, please.
Donchell, D-O-N-C-H-E-L-L.
Okay, Donchell, thank you. Great question. What I'm going to do is just mute the line if I can to try to answer that for
sure.
you. Okay, good question. Hold on just a second. Let me do this. Did I do that without disconnecting? Oh, yoy, yoy. Okay, great. All right, so good question. And I was going to answer the, and yay, I love it when the family comes together. Donchell, the question that you're asking is a good one. And a few shows ago, this software, we're talking about wedding planning software, and I have used, maybe I'm old school. That's not very cool. I hate to think that I'm old school. But it's My Wedding Workbook Pro. And the whole premise behind this software, from what I understand, you guys, you know, fill me in on the chat here, is that it's all online. So the beautiful thing is it's not local, meaning it's not on your hard drive, it's not on your computer, it's not on your laptop. As long as someone has an internet connection, and I'm guessing some sort of password, they can access the files. So this works perfectly if you have a team of wedding planners, but I'm guessing this will also work if you have a client, if you want that person to have access to the files, right? So I think that might be the way to go. And from what I understand, you pay a fee per month and there's no contract involved, but it's based on the number of weddings that you're working on. Is that right, guys? That's how it goes. I know Kim, I know Chazelle talked about it. Daniel's saying My Wedding Workbook. I think that's what it is. My Wedding Workbook Pro. Kim is talking about that. Yeah. So Donchell, check out what is the link, guys? Is it My Wedding Workbook Pro? Is that the whole URL? I think that might be it. Kim is saying it has a base plan of $9 a month. Yeah, you can't beat that. Good Lord. So you can use that. Do you guys know in the chat if you can you limit what the other person can access? Like if Donchell only wants her client to access these five documents, she can limit that? That would be really great. But Donchell, the URL is myweddingworkbook.com. Thank you, Tyon. So that's where you can find out that information for that software. So I haven't used it personally. I remember saying that I have so many things I got to do, guys. I hope you don't hate me for this, but which is why I like this whole interactive situation, that you can go in and find out more about it. Daniel says he uses it. And I see another link here called from Laurie. There's a good one called seatingarrangement.com. So that would help Donchell for that aspect. But it sounds like it depends on, you know, again, if that's all she needs to do. But I think you also mentioned that you want her to have access to different forms, like the bridal registration form, which makes perfect sense. So let's see. Daniel says you can add reminder emails to the client. Oh, that sounds wonderful. I really got to check this out. So, it's so rare that you find a good product that's affordable. Either it's one thing or the other. Either it's cheap and it doesn't do half of what you want it to do, or it does everything that you want it to do, but, you know, you're going to have to give your firstborn up. So it seems like this is a good balance. And Donchell, it comes highly, highly recommended. So I hope that helps. Let me just come back on the line and see if that answers your question, Donchell.
Second again, I'm sorry.
Donchell, it's Debbie. Does that help?
Yes, it does. That's exactly what I'm looking for. I actually looked up the site just a few minutes ago, and it looks like it'll work perfect. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome, and thank you for calling in. Was there anything else?
No, that's it. I'm going to continue on your call. I love these calls. Thank you so much for having them.
Oh, okay. Anytime. It's all for you. Thank you so much, Donchell.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, good. So I knew this is – I love you guys so much. I love you guys so much. You just can't believe it. So, okay. And let's see. Daniel's saying they have calendars where you can add task reminders, et cetera, and the email down to smartphones that request permission to save appointments. Okay. Oh, Kim says you can offer your clients a free website too. Really? From the My Wedding Workbook, Kim? Get out. Okay. All right. So, I really got to do my homework there. That's a really great deal. So My Wedding Workbook gets two thumbs up by all accounts. Okay. So you guys, right, I said we had a 45-minute show. So I've got five more minutes left. And let's see. This question comes from Ashley. And her question is, I know you're supposed to ask your bride open-ended questions, but I am just stuck. What questions should I ask my bride and groom? Okay, good question, Ashley. So, you know, when you're meeting with clients, so these are folks that have agreed that you are the wedding planner and they have signed your contract. Remember, guys, don't you do anything without a contract. I don't care how nice these people are. Do not do any work without a signed contract. Okay? Got it? Please, 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 please don't fall for that. And maybe, you know, it's nothing, your clients don't have bad intentions or your prospects don't have bad intentions, but just cover yourself, okay? So once you meet, even when they're prospects, when they haven't become clients yet, it's really good to ask open-ended questions. So open-ended questions are questions where the answer is not, cannot be answered with a simple yes or no, or, you know, one, two. So an open-ended question is a great way to get the conversation flowing. And, you know, even though we're doing this wedding planning thing, you can ask a lot of questions that are not related to weddings right off the bat just to get the conversation going. You know, asking your clients about what kind of things they do during their downtime. What kind of place? One of my favorite questions that really gets the ball rolling is I ask them, where do they go out to eat? What do they, you know, where do they like to eat? And usually that gives me some indication as to the style. And food is a big deal in most weddings because the reception usually takes the bulk of the budget. So for some clients, the food is a really big deal. For others, it's not about that. They just want to, you know, do minimal stuff and, you know, get the party going or make it a short and sweet reception. So by asking where, you know, where, what kind of thing, where they like to eat, where they like to dine, you know, then you get to find out if it's just, you know, the regular franchise restaurant or if it's something that's more gourmet or sort of, you know, a little more exotic, for lack of a better term, and it gets the ball rolling. Or they may tell you, you know, we prefer to eat in. We don't really eat out much. You know, take that and think about what that means. Because if somebody's really a foodie, if your couples are a foodie clients, they're really into that, they're probably out there eating and dining, or they may say they like to prepare or they like to cook at home. Those are all good indicators of their style. Another good question to ask is, how did you meet? And you sort of get some background. Ask how did he propose or how did she propose or how did the proposal go? These things sort of relax your clients and get them into that talkative mood. And then that just sort of leads into another thing. Oh, we were out biking and, you know, we got to this trail and all of a sudden. And then all of a sudden you're thinking, okay, well, outside biking. So these are outdoor couples. This is an outdoor couple. Do you get what I mean? So when you're thinking about outdoor questions, just think about it like your first date. Clearly, it can't be your first date if this couple is getting married, but you get my gist. So just ask them questions. You want them to talk about themselves because the more they talk, the more relaxed they are. And as you're asking these open-ended questions, Ashley, you're making notes. And let them know, you know, I'm just going to be making some notes. And don't try to write down every single word, but just a few pointers so that it sort of keeps your memory fresh when you go back to your office to look things over. Now, once they become your clients, you want to find out as much as you can about them. Also ask them, what have they seen at weddings that they've been to that they absolutely loved? And also, what have they seen at weddings that they've been to that they absolutely hated? Because you'll get an idea of some of the things to steer away from. Okay? So open-ended questions, Ashley, don't rack your brain. Just think of some things that you would like to know about that person because you want to get to know them. Not just about their wedding, but the kind of people they are. Are they family-oriented? Does it sound like mom and dad are involved? Does it sound like this is a really big deal to the family? And there is a couples quiz that I use, and it's a quiz. It's a lot of fun. You give one to the bride and one to the groom, and they answer it independently, and then we look at the responses together. And it's got questions like, you know, do you envision a wedding with just a few guests or a wedding with a lot of people? And by getting them to answer the questions independently, you get a much truer sense of what it is that they're looking for. Because usually when you're meeting with clients, there's one person that's a little more overpowering than the other, and the person who is a little more quiet will just tend to go with whatever he or she is saying. But by giving them the couples quiz independently, it gives them a chance to be a little more honest. Hopefully, you don't set off a firestorm. because, you know, she's thinking, I want the big, big wedding, and I know he wants it too. And then you look at the quiz, and it's like, really? No, he doesn't. He just wants two or three people to show up and the officiant. You know, that could be a bit of a problem there. But the whole idea is you want to incorporate both of their ideas. Because when I first started planning weddings, I would usually direct all my attention to the bride. Because she was usually the one that had most of the, I was going to say demands, but just she was the one who's more vocal about what she wanted. That's changing now because I think wedding planning is just becoming more front and center. Look at the wedding shows on TV. So people have a better idea. And with social media and YouTube and shows, people have a better idea of what it is that they want. So it's good to find out from both of them what they would like so that you as the wedding planner can come somewhere in the middle. Don't do what I did, which is, you know, ignore one for the other. You want to incorporate both of their ideas. It's a union and you want to get this started the right way. How many people have you spoken to and said, yeah, we had this wedding, but that's what he wanted. You know, if I had my way, it would have been da 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 da. You may not be able to give them everything, but you want to come someplace in the middle. Okay. So, Ashley, just think of some things that you would like to know about a person if you just met them at a cocktail party or you're just trying to find out a little bit more about them. Those kind of questions that you would ask without being, you know, crazy and inappropriate. But remember, these are your clients now and you want to get to know them. And, you know, shameless plug coming up. If you're on the wedding, if you're on the wedding business guide, there is a couples quiz there that you can use. And there's a list of open-ended questions there, too. But, I mean, it's not rocket science. You know, you just come up with a few questions that'll get your couple to talk about what it is that they want. And, you know, you can just probe a little bit more when they say one thing, you know, we're both outdoors people and, oh, great. So is that what you're thinking of for your wedding? And don't make assumptions like that too. Just because they do something during their free time doesn't mean that's what they want for their wedding. But this is why you answer, and ask those kinds of questions. Okay. All right. Okay, so listen, guys, we've got just a few, we're actually out of time. This other question is going to be a little more detailed. So what's going to be happening with confetti is I'm thinking I want to not change the format, but just right now all of the information is on the weddingsforliving.com site, but I'm probably going to move that over to a place that's a little more that's more central, that has a place for you to put your questions. And Clever Kim Howard has suggested during the other show that we have one place like a web blog or something like that. Kim, what was the term that you used, sweetie? You told me how to, you know, what we could do to just get all the Facebook URLs so people could come in and just add that stuff. Maybe it's just a chat that stays open. So just more of a community. But I will tell you, shameless plug yet again, on Wedding Business Guide, we do have a forum, which really isn't as busy as I would like it to be right now. And that's my fault. But there's a place there that you can sort of list that information. So when I say this thing for Wedding Business Guide, my whole idea is not to sort of persuade you to do something that you don't want to do. If you're not ready for that, you're not ready for it. But I just want to let you know, if you need a little more guidance, a little more hand-holding, that resource is there for you, okay? All right, so I'm going to wrap it up. The next time that we meet on Confetti, 2 weeks from now, what's that date? Today's the 18th. Will we be in November then? Will it be November already? Possibly, right? This is crazy. So the year is coming to an end. And what I would like for you to do is on the weddingsforliving.com, on the ask link there, if you would just tell me what your goals are for the upcoming year, for 2012, I would just love to know, what you have in mind, and just include in that comment whether or not you want me to share that on the air. And if you don't, I won't. But I'm just curious to see where it is you guys are going and what your plans are for your wedding planning business, so that I can try and help you. So go November 1. Thank you, Tyon. Thank you. The first of the month will be here for the next call. So go on to weddingsforliving.com. Just go into the ask page and just, you know, just let me know what your goals are as far as your wedding planning business. How about you tell me what you're struggling with and what you hope to accomplish next year? How about that? And let me know, you know, Debbie, I'd rather you not share that, but if you could just give me some feedback, and I'll try and do that. I'm also working on setting up a talkback line. which is where you can just call in and just leave like a 2-minute message and tell me what's going on. Because sometimes, you know, email, you just cannot convey what it is you want to say in an email. I know that, or in a contact form. So that will be up too. So I'll send you an email for that. Okay. So ladies, gentlemen, thank you so much for being here. I really enjoy this time that we have together. I'm your host, Debbie, and I'll be back in 2 weeks for another edition of Confetti, the talk show for wedding planners. Please go out there and make lots of money. I wish you all the love and success that I almost botched my line. Try that again. Take two. I wish you all the love and success in the world. Thank you for joining me. I'll see you in 2 weeks. Take care.